All right, Spill Left, Wendy Snyder, some 50 wildlife specialists, including a trained alligator trapper, are still combing that lake at Disney World Resort looking for the two-year-old boy. As Steve just mentioned, really, did you have any doubt that this child was dead?
You keep wanting, in your head, you keep wanting to figure out a scenario by which this child could have survived, but realistically, and again, we still don't know for sure, but I don't know how any two-year-old could have survived with what went on last night into today.
And the length of time it's taking to find the poor boy's body. Dr. John Duffy is with us in the studio. He is a clinical psychologist. He does a Dr. John Duffy podcast, which I'm loving, at WGNplus.com.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
It's you learn
something.
I don't
care for it, John, at all. It's just not my cup of tea.
I didn't picture you like
it's really,
it, Bill.
It's really good.
You know, it's just for briefly on the podcast, when you listen to it, it may not be something exactly that you're experiencing, but the advice you give and the people that are involved are so candid about their feelings that we do take away something from it. So
that's what I've been blown away with, is the people who I've had as guests have been so open with their experiences that, you know, destigmatizes almost everything. And I'm so proud of them and kind of in awe of their openness, you know, with what they've suffered.
It's amazing. Yeah. It really is. And we need to talk about things more, and we need to talk about this poor child at Walt Disney World. Just the thought, you know, a lot of people are blaming the parents, like the whole gorilla incident, which mm-hmm. this is completely a different situation. You're at Disney World, you're with your family, you're from Nebraska, you and your three kids are just watching movie night at the resort, and the signs say no swimming. The little kid is walking along the shoreline fairly close to the father, because as the boy is snatched by this alligator, which is anywhere from 4 to 7 feet, they're not even sure which alligator they're looking for. The dad tries to fight off the alligator. The mom jumps in and tries to do something. There are two other kids probably watching in horror as their little brother is snatched up. How do you recover from this?
It's almost unfathomable, you know. And initially, I think you're just in trauma, you know, and you can't process it. I think it's kind of the body's way almost of, you know, shutting down, protecting itself for the time being until you're at a place where you could deal with it. And you just hope that there's such this groundswell of support for these people and that there isn't a lot of blame for them, so that they can recover with some dignity and support, and not being kind of the bane of the media that's so prevalent around this thing. You know,
people are so quick to judge, aren't they?
So quick to judge, you know. And you picture this scenario. I was listening to you guys when I was driving in, and you were describing, you know, that Jimmy would have been like holding Michael or Dylan's hand, walking in the water. I would have been that guy. I don't know if you would have been that guy.
It says no swimming. They weren't swimming.
Right.
What did you tell me off the air?
I have been to this exact place at the exact same, I mean, the exact place at this hotel with my kids in the water and not thought anything of it.
Right. So this idea of parent blaming is absurd, right? Because, you know, you're at Disney, and who wouldn't think this is going to be perfectly fine?
Yeah.
You know, so parent blaming here is just pointless, I think, you know, and yet there are people all over the place talking about that right now in every form of media, and I just think that's adds to the devastation that's already there.
And
unnecessarily,
you can't like if you're the parents, you spend the rest of your lives maybe second guessing every move that you made that day. But really, sometimes, and Steve said this earlier in the news, sometimes there's just things happen that you just cannot control.
We like the idea that we can protect our kids in every possible circumstance, but this is kind of a glaring example of what would seem like a perfectly safe circumstance where that's not true. And on any given day, we don't know. When our kids walk out the door, we don't know. And yet you got people like me. I always encourage parents, like, you give your kids more independence. Let them out there more.
Right.
Is there a risk? There's always a risk. This is one of those days where that becomes so apparent. But the more they're out there, the more competent and resilient they feel in the world. And cloistering them really doesn't do them a great service at all. They're not prepared if they're over-cloistered. But every once in a while, once in a great while, something tragic happens, and it makes us all, I think, recoil from that thought a little bit.
But unless you have your kid completely strapped to you at all times, like, you know, the baby Bjorns, which are so cute, you know, have them in one of those till they're 18. And right. even then, there's no guarantee that you're going to protect
the adolescent exactly. borns. You've seen those.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, keep your kids strapped to you.
And
for right.
old
years.
Wife Bjorn. There should right. be one, you know, because yes. I was getting tired walking around
yes.
Disney.
Yes. John, what about the families who are not directly affected by this? You know, it's one family's tragic, tragic nightmare, but for all these other families that are in the happiest place in the world
right.
and they're seeing these things play out right before their eyes, what do parents tell their kids to assure them that this is a fluke thing?
Yeah, you know, it's tricky because there are certain things that kids want to know. And kids are kind and kids are empathic, but they do want to know they're safe. So you want to give them some feeling that they're safe, and you want to maybe show in these next few days, especially if you're down in Orlando, that you know you might want to show more in the way of precaution, right? So you might want to keep your kid a little closer to your hip and let them know that they're okay. My bias would be not to leave, but to stay and
yeah.
to, you know what I mean? And to experience and maybe enjoy some of your time. But the more comfort and assurance you can give them that they're going to be okay, the better. What I also find kids like is being able to do something. You know what I mean? What can we do for this family? Can I make a card for them? Can I yeah. write to them? You know, can we email them or something like that? And I would guess in the coming days and weeks, there will be opportunities to do that. So I always encourage parents to allow their kids the opportunity to express empathy in the way that they're drawn to.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good way to accept it, kind of to help someone else.
Yeah. 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 Because oftentimes we parents are far more frightened about what might happen to our kids than our kids are. You know, we make this presumption that they're going to hear about this and immediately be scared. And some kids will, but a lot of kids just feel terrible for the family. And you want to give them some air and some space to express that because kids are really empathic. And most parents I talk to, this is what they want from their kids more than anything else, is the ability to express empathy. And unfortunately, coming out of Orlando, there's more than one story that gives them the opportunity to do that.
And we'll discuss those other stories. The Pulse nightclub singer Christina Grimmie, who was gunned down by a fan who yeah. was meeting up with her. Dr. John Duffy in the studio. You can reach him at drjohnduffy.com. He's a clinical psychologist. And hey, pick up his book, The Available Parent, because it's very helpful. We'll continue 312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy is with us. He's a clinical psychologist, a life coach, a parenting and relationship expert. You can go to drjohnduffy.com. Check out his book, The Available Parent. It's awesome. You also have a podcast at WGN Plus, which you're doing a great job with. We were talking about the tragedy at Walt Disney World. And when the nightclub, the Pulse nightclub incident happened, was it Saturday night into
Late
Sunday?
Late Saturday into mm-hmm. Sunday, yeah.
We were heading to Magic Kingdom on Sunday, and I got AP alerts. The kids were on Facebook and saw posting, so we were all aware of it.
Right.
13 and 17, so my boys are old enough to know what's going on. And I said, listen, I don't want to scare anybody. We're going to Disney tomorrow. I know that they're going to do their best to protect us. I don't want to scare you, but I want to tell you right now, if something is up that's out of the ordinary, if you hear pops, if you hear sounds that sound like a gunshot, if you see weird actions from people, if you hear people screaming, hit the ground, hide, yeah. do whatever you can. And they agreed, and that's all that was said, and we moved on. But I felt I had to say that.
I think you did have to say it. It's a different day and age. I'm thinking there must have been a time not that long ago when parents might have been able to shield their kids right from this news.
That's what you said, Bill. It's like
right?
in the day of cell phones, you know, you could probably come home and not know this happened sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, you keep the TV off and, you know,
right.
there was no Reddit and there wasn't, you know, right. there was no, you know, internet and there wasn't kind of 24-hour news channels and you could just kind of like skate under the radar. But given the circumstances now and given the ages and the level of sophistication of your kids, I think it's completely appropriate and mandatory, right? This is a safety issue, so they have to know. And they're going to learn anyway, you know? So if you don't say anything, then I think they might feel like they're flying a little bit without a net. But if you say, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do, I think that's important. I think that's kind of the way we have to parent in general from here going forward. You know what I mean? For better or worse, there's always this possibility that something could happen. And so we want our kids to have in the back of their minds, here's our plan B. Here's what's going to happen if something tragic happens and we're right there. So I actually think you handled that beautifully, Wendy, knowing where your kids were and what they could handle. And I suspect that they were able to kind of assimilate that into their day and have a day, you know?
I remember, John, my parents and my brother and I think I was 5 or 6 and my brother a couple years younger. The only coaching they gave us was, what if somebody is trying to kidnap you? What if somebody says, yeah, I'm his uncle and I need to take him, and what we need to do in a case like that. But there was never anything as in-depth of what if there's an active shooter? What if there's a terrorist situation? That never happened a generation ago.
No, it's so different now. And, you know, our kids are aware of it. To some extent, the kids I work with are a little desensitized, might not be the right word, but they're certainly familiar with the possibility of it, in the same way that we were familiar with kind of just the idea of stranger danger, right? Which felt like the worst of it. And but now, you know, the stakes are higher. One interesting element of it is, this stuff, as much as we're talking about it lately, the last couple of years, the last, you know, few days, this doesn't happen all the time, you know? So it is something where we can assure our kids, like, by and large, we're going to be safe. We're going to be fine. But in the event that you hear a loud pop or you see a commotion, you know, make sure you take care of yourself. Hit the deck. Do what you need to do. You know, I think this is the world we live in and the precautions that we need to take. It's different than the guy in the white van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is.
And it's okay to play that numbers game and say the odds are against something like this happening, but you never know. So just to play it safe, here's what we want to do. Right?
I think we have to do that. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I work with a lot of kids who get really, really anxious and sometimes irrationally anxious. And if they hear one story, they kind of focus in on that like a laser, like, Mom, Dad, could this happen to me?
Right.
You know, and if the answer is, well, yeah, it sure could, without the caveat of, but it really, in all likelihood, will not.
Right.
You know, then that can just increase that anxiety exponentially really quickly.
Sure.
And it's hard to recoil from it.
When you mentioned that kids are more familiar with it,
yeah,
I don't know if you're right, desensitized is, but it's becoming the normal, unfortunately.
It is.
And it's funny because some kids will freak out and zero in on things and be very anxious about it. And then my son Dylan says, you know, what if we're at a restaurant and there's a shooter and I hide under their table and he doesn't see me and I know he doesn't see me? Would it be okay if I went and tried to attack him? And I said, no.
Yeah.
If you're safe, you're safe. But I think these kids also feel like I could try and help people, but you have to worry about your own safety.
Absolutely. And this is tricky for kids because it's not, I don't even think it's just this hero complex. I think this is genuine desire to help. Like,
absolutely.
Right, there's these mass shootings and boy, I bet I could stop the guy right in the middle of the whole thing. Right. Or, you know, maybe I could have stopped that alligator, and it comes from the goodness of their heart, not just this Rambo kind of like, you know, I want to be the guy, I want to be the hero. So to Dylan's credit, you know, I completely get the idea of, boy, can I help minimize the damage that's happening here? But the only right answer is, nope, you got to take care of yourself and trust the people who are in charge and trained to do this stuff, to do their jobs, that we're going to be okay. Just sit tight, stay where you are. There's no doubt that's the right advice for your kids. But it might be good to take a moment and say, I can appreciate how badly you want to help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you think possibly that kids are desensitized because of the quote unquote normalcy of going to a hockey game and having to walk through a metal detector and going to their school and walking through a metal detector? And some schools, and I know we've had a text or two on this, we only had tornado drills, but now schools have shooter drills at school. It's a regular thing now. So maybe just being, having all that around them makes them realize it's a reality.
And different kids are different, Bill. Yes, because I think for a lot of kids, like, you know, they're so used to this and desensitized. And I guess this is what we do when we walk into school and we get checked and I take my shoes off at the airport. And then every once in a while, kids get really inquisitive. Why do we have to do this? What's this all about? And that's where I think the anxiety rises. I almost feel like emotionally the kids are who a little desensitized are feel a little calmer about it. Like, okay, I'm willing to do this for safety's sake, you know, but not picturing an event happening. Whereas some of the kids who really think it through, I think get anxious about it and worry about it. Yeah.
We don't have much time left, but I just want to mention that the survivors of the Pulse nightclub shooting, and I'm sure the parents of this poor boy at Disney feel some kind of guilt and remorse that they survived and the people around them didn't.
Yes.
That's a real thing, isn't it?
It's a real thing. And I've dealt with that professionally for decades, including one woman who survived the World Trade Center attack, literally checked out of the Marriott 15 minutes before the first plane hit, and is still to this day, 15 years later, suffers. You know, like, why me? Why did I survive that? You know, so my bias and my advice to those people is talk to a therapist, talk to a professional, and work that through, and live your life in honor of the people who have passed, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so if you need some motivation to lead a good life, let that be part of the impetus to lead a good life, you
right.
know, that you were lucky enough to survive these things,
yeah.
you know, and honor those people who have fallen.
And Bill, yesterday you and I were saying that Roe had mentioned something about the media seems to be covering all these victims and their stories. And you and I mentioned that we owe it to these victims to read their stories and see what a great person they were and to celebrate their life, basically.
Yeah, you hate the idea that people just become a number, right? 50 is just this, and 50 is particularly like this round number, and it becomes history. And the Orlando event within a couple of days. So I'm so glad that some of the media, I saw Anderson Cooper really pause, Ashley Banfield, some other people really pause and spend a moment on each of the stories of each of these lives, because these were each people.
John, we're bombarded with the story of the shooter. We know his background.
Right.
We know what he's done his whole life. That's not fair. We should know the victim's story at least as much.
And I think there's some truth to the idea that the more attention you give the shooters, the perpetrators of this violence, there is this propensity, I think, for a copycat, for somebody to come along like, hey, I want to go out in infamy as well,
yeah.
you know? And that's the last thing we want to encourage and glorify in any way, right?
Yep.
These victims, these are the people we should be attending to these days,
right.
for sure.
Thanks for making sense of it all. He is Dr. John Duffy. You can reach him at drjohnduffy.com. His book, The Available Parent, is awesome, and his podcast at WGN Plus. What's the original name of the podcast again?
It's the Dr. John Duffy Podcast.
It's got a great name, John.
Thank you.
It really does. Thank you for being here. We
Thanks
appreciate it. We'll take a quick break, and then Kim Gordon has the news for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.